This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the living kingdom to which we are members. And as members of the kingdom, we give honor to our King.
Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a Son of Man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
The kingship of Christ is that of love and service. The kingdom of Christ is what we are celebrating this Sunday, a day we acknowledge and celebrate Christ the King of the universe. He's not just the King of the Jews, as Pilate's inscription on the cross read. Christ's kingship is more than that. His kingdom is not of this world. The universe and all that therein belong to him, and there is nothing that exists that does not originate from him. Every kingdom of the earth is subject to him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so we celebrate Christ our King. In the kingdom of Christ, there is no discrimination. Everyone is unique, everyone is important, and everyone is respected. Christ the King should be the model of every Christian leader who should see authority as a call to service. As we celebrate Christ our King, let us not only pray for the coming of God's kingdom, but let us also dedicate ourselves to work for everything that will certainly bring about the manifestation of his kingdom in our lives. And we ask our Blessed Mother Mary to intercede for us. And may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Odaijong contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us. All about our environment.
Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Saturday morning received an audience, canon lawyers taking part in a course organized by the Roman Rota. In his address, the Pope highlighted how charity, justice, and truth are interconnected and at the heart of the 2025 Jubilee of Hope. Linda Bodoni reports.
Love, caritas, is an extraordinary force that impels people to courageously and generously engage in the field of justice and peace, said Pope Francis on Saturday to participants in a formation course organized by the Tribunal of the Roman Rota. It is a force, he added, that originates in God, eternal love and absolute truth. Explaining that the mission of the Roman Rota, the Church's highest court of appeal, can be described as a ministry of justice and charity and truth, the Pope said canon lawyers are called to love each of these virtues that are so closely intertwined that if one is lacking, all three lose authenticity. Neither justice without charity, nor charity without justice, he said, never forgetting that justice can only be understood in the light of love. Love, he said, teaches canon lawyers to cultivate their legal sensitivity so that they may recognize what constitutes a true right of the person within the Church. The Pope invited everyone to look beyond a mistaken concept of justice as a merely punitive exercise, while, he explained, it is a distinctly altruistic virtue that seeks the good of the other. Charity and justice, the Pope continued, work harmoniously together when they find their basis in truth. In conclusion, Pope Francis invited canon lawyers to embrace hope as the Church looks to the upcoming 2025 Jubilee of Hope, which begins on December the 24th. I'm Linda Bodoni.
Shortly after that encounter with the canon lawyers, Pope Francis met with some 5,200 representatives of Italian fishermen and participants in an international conference in Rome on public health systems in Europe. In his address in the Paul VI Hall, the Pope spoke about the importance of teamwork and solidarity, both in the fishing and healthcare professions. In the first part of his speech, he addressed the fishermen accompanied by bishops and leaders of the Apostleship of the Sea in Italy and reflected on the value of their profession and the mission that this value entails. You can read more about that encounter from our web portal, vaticannews.va. Pope Francis will make an apostolic journey to the Mediterranean island of Corsica, France, on the 15th of December to close an international conference on popular religious traditions organized by the Diocese of Ajaccio. That's according to a note released on Saturday by Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office. The visit will be the Pope's 47th apostolic journey abroad and the first ever visit of a Pope to the French Mediterranean island. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Corsica is the fourth largest island in the Mediterranean after Cyprus and is known for being the homeland of Napoleon. Located off the western coast of Italy, it has been at the crossroad of various Mediterranean cultures and powers, including the Italian republics of Pisa and Genoa, and finally France, which annexed the island in 1769 after fierce resistance from the Corsican independentists. Due to the Italian cultural influence and its community-based social structure, Corsica has retained a distinctive cultural and linguistic identity with ongoing discussions about autonomy. The island, covered by the Diocese of Ajaccio, numbers some 277,000 Catholics, representing 81.5% of its population. Catholicism has held an important place in Corsican history. This is testified by the many churches in its inland villages and its deep-rooted popular devotions, in particular to the Virgin Mary. Religious festivals, processions and pilgrimages continue to punctuate Corsican social life today, despite urbanization and the social-economic changes of recent decades. These religious traditions will be the focus of the two-day colloquium on popular religiosity in the Mediterranean, to which Pope Francis has been invited to take part. The venue will bring together participants from France, Italy and Spain to share the richness of faith of Corsican popular religiosity with similar traditions in other regions of the Mediterranean. The motto of the apostolic journey is "He went about doing good," which recalls that the Pope visits the church in Corsica like the shepherd who goes to his people. The logo features a stylized map of Corsica in vertical blue lines, with the highest line culminating in the shape of a cross. In the lower part features a silhouette of the Madonna, Queen of Corsica, emerging from the sea. I am Lisa Zingarini.
In a post on the social media platform X, formerly Twitter, on Saturday, Pope Francis said, "Today our world is experiencing a tragic famine of hope. So much pain, emptiness, and inconsolable grief surrounds us. May we become messengers of the consolation bestowed by the Spirit. When we radiate hope," continued the Pope, "the Lord opens new paths along our journey." Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin on Friday evening highlighted the enduring legacy of Pope Benedict XVI's work and witness during the 2024 Ratzinger Prize-giving ceremony in the Sala Regia of the Apostolic Palace. This year's recipients are Irish theologian Cyril O'Regan and Japanese sculptor Etsuro Soto. Speaking at the conclusion of the ceremony, Cardinal Parolin reflected on how Pope Benedict's teaching reminds us to hold on to faith and hope amid the struggles of modern times marked by hatred and evil. He recalled that the late Pope's encyclical, Spe Salvi, is entirely dedicated to hope, to human hope and to Christian hope. He said the two prize winners of the Ratzinger Prize this year resonate with the theology, the sensitivity, and the human and Christian testimony of Joseph Ratzinger, who dedicated his life to the search for truth in all its forms. Pope Francis will preside over Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday the 24th of November, the solemnity of Christ the King of the Universe, and the World Youth Day in the particular churches. The frequency for the English language commentary for our listeners in West and Central Africa is the 17540 kHz frequency on the 16-meter band. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The UN World Food Programme, WFP, has announced the arrival of the first aid convoy since August to Zam Zam refugee camp in North Darfur State in Western Sudan. In a statement Friday, the UN agency said that more than 700 trucks carrying WFP food aid are en route to communities across Sudan. The Zam Zam camp is housing about 500,000 displaced people. Sudan has been gripped by a devastating conflict between the armed forces of the country and the paramilitary rapid support forces since mid-April last year. Freeman Mbowe, the leader of Tanzania's main opposition party, Chadema, has been released on bail after being arrested on Friday. His release came just days before local elections set for the 27th of November. Chadema announced his release in a post on the social media platform X on Saturday. Mr. Mbowe's arrest was reportedly linked to a gathering ahead of the elections. Following his release around midnight on Friday, he addressed reporters, dismissing the accusations as baseless. He further alleged that the arrest was a deliberate attempt by the government to disrupt Chadema's planned campaigns. The opposition leader also noted that some party members remain in custody and that he and others have been summoned to appear before authorities on the 29th of November. The World Health Organization said on Friday that the Mpox outbreak continues to represent a public health emergency. The Global Health Agency first declared the emergency in August when an outbreak of a new form of Mpox spread from the badly hit Democratic Republic of Congo to neighboring countries. This year, there have been more than 46,000 suspected cases across Africa, mainly in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and more than 1,000 suspected deaths. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Friday met with Celeste Saulo, Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, WMO. As you may have heard in our last program, during the conversation, they discussed their common concerns on climate change and agreed on the urgency for climate action. Speaking to Vatican News after the audience, Ms. Saulo said that the UN agency is looking forward to a closer collaboration with the Holy See and other religions on this crucial issue, one which represents a major challenge for our planet and humanity. The Argentinian was appointed head of the UN Weather Agency on the 1st of June last year and took office on the 1st of January this year. Speaking to UN News' Natalie Minard ahead of the World Meteorological Day on the 23rd of March this year, Ms. Celeste Saulo said weather and climate indicators were off the chart last year, according to the latest report by her organization. However, she said it's not too late for humankind to live in balance with nature.
The WMO's State of Global Climate report confirms that 2023 was the hottest year on record, with the global mean temperature at 1.45 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Can the world still achieve the Paris Agreement to limit the increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius, or is this an illusion?
Well, I wouldn't speak of an illusion. I would say that we need to keep the ambition alive. And the reason I express this is because if we don't keep the ambition alive, we may not react in time. And that is something we cannot allow. So for me, yes, we have to keep that ambition alive and work as hard as possible to make it happen.
When you took office in Geneva in January, you called climate change the greatest global threat of our times, and that human and industrial activities are unequivocally to blame. What worries you the most, and what are your priorities as Secretary General of the WMO for the next 4 years?
Well, what worries me the most is that all the indicators regarding greenhouse gases are increasing, from CO2, carbon dioxide to methane, all the indicators are increasing. That means that we are not doing enough, and that worries me a lot. As a WMO Secretary General, what we can do is to, for example, improve the quality of our measurements. And that's why we are putting forward an initiative called Greenhouse Gases Watch, to really keep on our strategy of measurements of good quality around the world, to make sure that all the actions are on track and whether we are doing the right thing to really mitigate our greenhouse gases generation. So that is one initiative as WMO, and another initiative has to do more with adaptation, and we need to adapt to a changing climate. And one way of adapting is preserving people from a hazard. And the only way to do that is through better forecasts, through better early warning systems. So that is another area where I would like to put an emphasis.
Short-term and economic interests still drive government's policy to the detriment of ambitious climate strategies. We've recently seen farmers' protests across Europe that pushed back reforms on use of pesticides and diesel. How do you think that can shift? What actions will you advocate for to encourage change?
First action, information. I think that we need to provide information of what is actually happening. And that's why I use this example of greenhouse gases. We need to speak to everyone and explain what is happening with the system. Of course, that is not enough. And we need also to explain every citizen that this is not an individual issue. This is a very global and communitarian issue. And we as a community should respond together. I think that everyone should move towards sustainable practices, understanding that the world is getting worse and worse, and we need those sustainable practices in farming and in every kind of activity in place. That is not the role of the WMO, but what we need is to provide information for the decision makers, for the policy makers, to take action. And then I think that we as a community should adapt to what our policymakers are recommending us to do.
What are the most urgent actions that governments and countries at the national and global level should take?
try to move to net zero, to emit less. And to accomplish that, of course, it's easier when you have a renewable energy transition in place. But when you are far away from that, what you need is the support from the developed world to make this possible. I think that the issue of energy and renewable energies should be at the core level of decision making and action from the governments.
So that leads me to the final question. What is actually your message to younger generations and environmental activists who are concerned about the green outlook?
My message is to engage, to continue engaging. We are all part of this situation and we are responsible for doing and we are responsible for not doing. The worst message could be not to react, and that is not possible, because things will become worse and worse. So we need every young person on Earth to engage, because it is for their future, is for the sustainability of this planet, so we need them on board. My message is that you should never lower your hands, you know. You have to keep up and continue pushing for your dreams and for your rights of living a planet where you have all you need, without damaging the system.
That was the Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, Celeste Saulo, speaking there to UN News' Natalie Minard. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, news about our environment. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.